Hey everybody, welcome to the Your Move podcast. I'm Jeff, your host. Did you know that Your Move exists in more places than just the podcast you're listening to? Like in 39 cities on network television after Saturday Night Live and The Late Late Show. You can also find Your Move episodes online, on our brand new YouTube channel, and on the Your Move app. And when you add up all of these places, that equals more than 7 million episodes that people like you listen to every month. 7 million. Bringing Your Move episodes to all of these places and keeping them free isn't cheap. So if listening to Your Move has inspired you to make a better decision or just live life a little differently, would you consider supporting Your Move with a tax-deductible donation? It's the generosity of people like you, our listeners and subscribers, that makes Your Move possible. And while we only do this kind of thing a couple of times a year, we do want to give you the opportunity to support Your Move right now. So hit pause on the treadmill, take a break from the spreadsheet, or pull over if you're driving, and text Your Move, all one word, to 77977, or visit yourmove.is/give. That's yourmove.is/give. So text Your Move to 77977, or visit us online to give. Thanks for your support. We really do believe that the next 30 minutes will help you make better decisions and as a result, enjoy life with fewer regrets. So today, we're going to hear a message from Andy called Fear Less.
Hey, we are talking about fear, and specifically our theme is fearless. And here's the deal, and you may not have thought about it this way before, and in fact, you haven't had time to think about it this way before because everybody's busy and everybody's going through life, and we all have fears, we all have worries, we have anxiety. Some of you have anxiety attacks, and in fact, I've learned this about anxiety attacks, having enough friends who've had, you know, anxiety attacks, that if I talk about an anxiety attack long enough, you'll have one. So we'll just move on. Anyway, so here's the deal. While it is impossible to be fearless, because I think it's impossible to be fearless. We'll talk about that in just a minute. While it is impossible to be fearless, it is possible to fear less. And that's what we're going to talk about. I think it's impossible, as we're going to see for the next few minutes, it's really impossible to live a fearless life because the truth is, and you know this, you're adults, you get this, fear is actually a good thing. I mean, you really don't want to live a life without fear. Fear has kept you out of trouble. Fear has kept you away from some things that you need to be kept away from. But here's the other reason that fear is really, really a good thing and why it's never going to go away. You're never going to totally conquer it because fear is actually a byproduct of something. Fear is the byproduct of our ability to project into the future and remember the past. One of the greatest gifts that God has given you, one of the greatest gifts that God has given the human race, or if you're not a God person or a Christian person, you know, one of the greatest gifts that natural selection finally naturally selected for us, and maybe we got here that way, is simply this. Human beings have the ability to remember what happened in the past. In fact, we can remember way, 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 way back. And because we have the ability to remember what happened in the past, we just assume all animals do, they don't. We also have the ability to project into the future. And it's our ability to remember what happened the last two Christmases that allows us to project into the future and look forward to the next Christmas. Or it's our ability to remember what happened the last two Christmases and dread the next Christmas, okay? So our ability as human beings to be able to remember what happened in the past and to project into the future is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's why we're able to make progress as a race. It's why we're able to move forward. It's why we're able to plan. It's why you're able to hope. The reason you have hopes is because you have memories. You have memories from your life. You have heard stories of what other people have done. And as you think about your future, you have hope. You're able to project into the future. It's why you're able to dream. It's why we're able to wish. It's why we're able to anticipate. Imagine life without the ability to hope or to dream or to wish or to anticipate. And the problem is our ability to do all of that is what enables us, unfortunately, and empowers us to be able to fear. And here's the deal. None of us, no matter how fearful we are and no matter how big our fears are, none of us would trade our ability to be able to do all that for a fearless life. That's why I say we're never going to be fearless, but we can, as we're going to see, fear less. Because the other thing is, fear is connected to this other incredible, incredible thing that God has given us the ability to do, and that is to imagine. Because imagination is tied to fear. I mean, what is fear? Fear is I begin to imagine what might happen. I begin to imagine how bad it's going to be. I begin to imagine, you know, 3 or 4 more years like the last 3 or 4 years. I begin to imagine how long it's going to take me to recover. I begin to imagine what it's going to be like if I can't pay my bills. So our this powerful, wonderful thing, I mean, who would trade imagination for, you know, for to get rid of fear? None of us. And yet it's our ability to imagine, you know, but, you know, I imagine, what if it doesn't work out? What if this relationship doesn't work out? Then what? I begin to imagine. And what if this career doesn't work out? And what if I don't get that job? And what if they don't call me back? And what if she doesn't show up? Or what if she does show up? Or, you know, what if I never have kids? Or what if I'm actually pregnant? Or what? I mean, we just imagine. And your fear, your ability to fear is tied to your ability to imagine. And if I said, hey, if you come up here after today, you know, after I finish, you can push a button and you lose your ability to imagine and you lose your potential to fear. None of us, I'm guessing, none of us would trade that in, which means we're stuck. God bless you. See you next time, right? It's like there's just really nothing you can do about it. I mean, fear is just a part of life, and it's tied to some of the greatest things, and none of us, if we had the potential or the ability, none of us would trade that in. So here's the question, and this is a big deal. Is there a way, as I said up front, is there a way, if we can't be fearless, is there a way to fear less? And the answer is yes. Now, if you're a Christian, like I'm a Christian, and you kind of look to God for leadership, and you trust that the New Testament documents really, you know, tell us what Jesus actually said, and we ask Jesus, you know, what do you have to say about fear? Jesus is a little bit funny when it comes to fear. In fact, Jesus talked a lot about fear, and even if you're not a Christian, it's really interesting to read what Jesus said about fear, because on the surface, he doesn't seem to give us much help at all. I would imagine, based on what the Gospels say that Jesus said, if Jesus were here and we were to say, Jesus, what do you have to say about fear? He summed it up in 2 words. He would say, fear not. What do you mean? Or here's 3 words. Don't be afraid. Have a good day. You know, it's like, that's it. I mean, when you look in the Gospels, because Jesus talked a lot about fear. And apparently, he definitely believed that in this life there will be fear. You're not going to live a fearless life. But clearly, based on what he taught and how he lived and what he told those who were close to him, there is a way for us to fear less. And then he, one time he was speaking and I think he had a big grin on his face when he taught his disciples this. He said, do not be afraid. Maybe you've heard this before. Do not be afraid of those who can only kill the body. Like, that's like the whole thing. Kill the body. That's like you killed all of me. It's like, it's just my body. I'm fine. I mean, just the body. He says, you don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. What does that even mean? Rather, be afraid. So we are supposed to be afraid of something. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body. In hell. It's like, okay, well, there it is again. It's not like you're not helping us. You're supposed to say, don't worry, nothing's gonna happen, don't be afraid. Twice now you've said, something bad's gonna happen, don't be afraid, and your whole body might be killed, but don't be afraid of the people who can kill your whole body. You're supposed to rather be afraid of this one who can take care of and ultimately satisfy and save your body and your soul. What is he talking about? Now, this is such a big deal. Jesus takes us to a place that I'm telling you, I've met some people who've been there. I'm going to tell you about one in a few minutes. You've met some who've been there. Some of you are just all about this. You've already been, you know where I'm going with this, because this isn't theory for you. This isn't a message for you. This is your experience. He goes on and he says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? And they're all going, yes. And we're going, I don't know. Yet, not one of these sparrows will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. Like, really? I mean, that's a lot of detail. Like, God really cares that much? In other words, he's saying, your heavenly Father, he's kind of taking us to his bottom line. Your heavenly Father, he says, has the final say. Your heavenly Father has the final say. Your heavenly Father has the final say. Your heavenly Father has the final say. So let me review. Bad things are going to happen to some good people. Don't be afraid. Bad things are going to happen to some really good people. Don't be afraid. Your heavenly Father is the ultimate decision maker. Your heavenly Father's will holds sway. And even, he goes on, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So let's see if we can get this straight. So Jesus You're not like sugarcoating this. You're saying up front, things are going to be bad. There's going to be pain. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be grief. There's going to be death. There's going to be all kinds of bad things that happen. And somehow we cannot be afraid. You're not promising to keep bad things from happening. So what's the point? Now, Jesus was all about illustrations. He wasn't just about teaching, he was about illustrations. So on a couple of occasions, he took his disciples on a sort of visual aid boat ride. And these are very famous stories from the New Testament, okay? These visual aid boat rides. One of them went like this. It says, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And suddenly, you've heard this story before, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus, you remember this? But Jesus was sleeping. Now, if you're a Christian, this is one of your greatest fears right here, isn't it? In fact, some of you, this is my life. I'm in trouble. Jesus is sleeping. I'm in trouble. God is sleeping. There's a storm. It's a physical storm. It's a health storm. It's a job storm. It's a relationship storm. It's a financial storm. It's something going on with my extended family storm. I mean, there's a storm and I'm praying like crazy and Jesus is sleeping. Now, this is so important, okay? And if you don't hear anything else, I say this is so important, okay? When you feel that way, the good news is you're not the first person to experience that. The people Jesus knew the best and loved the most experienced that very thing, not sort of theoretical, like, you know, I've been praying, I haven't heard from anything. No, they are, you know, 6 feet away and they are gonna literally drown and he is actually sleeping. Which means when you kind of feel that sense of distance from God and where's God and what's God up to, it's as if Jesus left us this story to say, it's okay. It's okay, you're not alone. It's not as bad as you think. You are not the first to feel this, to fear this, or to experience this. And the disciples, you remember the story, and the disciples went and woke him up saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And then he replied, what an insult. You have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Okay. See, God, your Father, gave us the ability to both remember and project. And we remember some friends who got caught in a storm and they drowned. We know what's happened to us in the past. We know what has happened to other people in the past. How can we not project the past on the future? Because there's no way for us not to do that. That is why we are afraid. And there again, this is our experience, and Jesus is so down to earth, both feet planted firmly on the ground, illustrating for the people he loved the most, and then recording this in such a way that 2,000 years later, here we are still talking about it. This is so powerful. And then he got up, the text tells us, and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed. And they ask, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And the answer is super. That's what kind of man he is. He is a super man. He has the ability to control nature. And in this moment, his point isn't to just show off because there was just a handful of people on this boat. His point was to teach them a lesson that would stand the test of time. And here we are 2,000 years later, still talking about this extraordinary, extraordinary event. Because here's what happened for them, and here's what would ultimately happen for them, and here is what I believe our Heavenly Father wants to happen for me, because I'm sitting here with you tonight listening to this, as you're going to see in just a minute. And I think what God wants all of us to take away from these fabulous, fabulous narratives that have been preserved for us through all these years is that in the midst of all the what that causes us to fear, there is a who that says, I want you to look at me. And in this moment, here's what happened. Their focus went from the what of the storm to the who of the person who could calm the storm. Their focus went from the what of the storm that's about to take our lives and kill our bodies as if there was more to life than our body. And suddenly, in a moment, they're asking the question, not, did you see what happened? Where did the storm go? It certainly came up quick. They're like, what kind of man is this? If there is anyone that demands and deserves our respect and our awe, if there is anything we should fear, it is not storms. It is the one who has the ability to calm the storm. What kind of man is this? Well, the disciples, the apostles, you know, I'm not critical of them. Who knows what any of us would have done, but they didn't get it. They didn't. So when Jesus was arrested. They didn't stand by their man. You know, they hide, they lied, and they denied, and they fled, and they disappear. And then a little while later, this same group of people who just disappeared into the night and kind of left their guy literally hanging, they show back up. And they're courageous. And they go into the streets of Jerusalem, even though they are facing people who killed the Son of God's body and have the potential to kill their body as well. And somehow they've learned the lesson, and somehow they become seemingly fearless, regardless of the fact that all of their lives were, you know, at risk. And they go into the streets of Jerusalem. They say, you know, you killed him, God raised him. We've seen him. Say you're sorry. You know, you killed him, God raised him. We've seen him. Say you're sorry. And we're not afraid anymore. It's like, what happened to you? It's that we saw a resurrected Savior and we got it. We got it. We got it. We finally came to grips and we finally came to terms with the question that we ask on the boat. What kind of man is this? This is a man sent from God. And if there is anyone and anything we ought to fear, respect, awe, reverence, it's him. And it's exactly as he said. We have suffered and we have lost, but somehow we are no longer afraid because the someone replaced a something. This is how you become not fearless. This is how you begin to fear less. Because when their faith in someone exceeded their fear of something, fear lost its grip. And when your faith in that someone exceeds your fear of the something, fear, it doesn't completely vanish, but it loses its death grip. It loses its choke hold on you. Now, that is very easy for me to stand up here and say. And so last night, literally last night, our community group met. And right now, there's a gentleman in our group that I've known for about maybe 8 or 9, maybe longer than that, 8 or 9 or maybe 10 years, named Tim. And 3.5 years ago, Tim was diagnosed with ALS. It's a disorder that involves the death of the motor neurons that, you know, control the voluntary muscles. So what happens is over time, your muscles atrophy, all of your muscles. And generally what happens, it can, you know, work its way out in different ways. But generally what happens is a person loses their, they get weaker and weaker because their muscles get weaker and weaker. Eventually you lose the ability to speak. And then you lose the ability to swallow, and then you lose the ability to breathe, and then you pass away. So 3.5 years ago, Tim was diagnosed with ALS. So our community group is kind of their support group as Tim slowly goes to meet his maker. Last year, our family and a whole bunch of us were part of his team for the ALS walk. And at the walk, I took this picture, so I want to show you this picture. This is not Tim. This is Tim. I have watched this man for 3.5 years take one step after another, closer and closer and closer to meeting his God, and his attitude is ridiculously, ridiculously inspiring. It's like he refuses to give up on life, even though his body has given up on him. So last night we're in community group, and I said, "Hey Tim," there were 5 couples in our group, 2 couples didn't show up, so there's 3 couples. We're sitting in my living room, and I'm supposed to lead the discussion. I said, "Hey Tim, tomorrow night I'm going to meet with a whole bunch of folks in the city, and we're going to talk about fear. What would you tell them? What would you say to them?" So I just started, and we're very good friends, so I can ask very specific questions. I mean, there's no secret. They're wide open about this whole thing. I said, "Come on, how do you deal? Come on, Tim, I want you to be specific. How do you deal?" And I didn't use the word fear. I said, "How do you deal with the terror? How do you deal with the terror of knowing how this will end for you?" And I just started taking notes, and he and Carla just started talking. And we're crying, and I'm writing, and we're crying, and I'm writing. So I want to tell you what he told us. And what he told me specifically to tell you. So, life lessons from Tim Liff. Here's what he said. If you spend time with fearful people, you will adopt their fear. Let me ask you a question. What are the people that you spend most of your time with most concerned about? Because here's what Tim said last night. He said, the people that you spend time with, the thing that they're most concerned about will eventually become your concern. You will adopt their fear, whether it's looks, status, income. What are the things that the people you spend time with most concerned about? Those concerns will become, he said, your concerns. But what, come on, what is most valuable? What's most important? What really matters? That's why those of you who invest a slice of your time investing in the lives of other people, you get this. You get this because part of your concern is other people and part of your concern is the welfare of another generation. But some of you, you are surrounded with people and it's not that they're concerned about bad things. They're just not concerned about really important things. And Tim says, fear is contagious. And the things that the people around you fear the most will eventually become your fears. And the reason he said that, he said, there are so many people in the city that when they are confronted with ALS, they go into complete denial. He says, they won't even come to a support group. He said, and then when they find each other, it's like fear feeds fear. And you've got to find people who fear the right thing and are concerned about the right thing. The second thing he said is this. You wouldn't be surprised with this one. He said, ALS makes everything I worried about in the past seem silly. And then he looked at me sitting in my big, you know, like every dad has like a chair. He was in my chair. He was in the Santa Claus chair last night. And I'm sitting on the couch, you know, and all of us are sitting there. He looked at me and here's a quote. He spoke to you last night. Here's what he said. Tell them, stop worrying, live your life. The sooner they accept what can't be changed, the easier it becomes. Stop worrying and live your life. Stop, come on. What is it that you, I'm so stressed out, no, he's going, okay. You know what, he would get face to face with you, he'd go, are you kidding, that is so silly. Live your life and stop trying to live somebody else's life. Here's what he said. He said, I've met so many people in this ALS community. Here's what he said. He said, they put all their effort, now don't miss this, okay? They put all their effort and energy into fighting, striving, and denying rather than living, and they're disappointed in the end. He said, there's so many people in this community, they're just striving, they're fighting this, they're denying this, there's so much tension. In the end, they lose anyway. So let me ask you. Is there a fear? Is there a concern? Is there a worry? And you're just constantly striving and constantly fighting and constantly worrying, a little bit in denial. Here's what my buddy Tim would say. He'd say, come on, you just gotta let that go. I know what everybody else said. Come on, let it go. Quit trying to live somebody else's life with somebody else's expectations because of something somebody told you. Let it go and live your life. But then he said something I won't ever forget. This was like there were just too many tears. Because I said, come on, Tim. Okay, but what are you afraid of? I mean, I'm going to talk about fear. Tell me about the fears. Here's what he said regarding his fears. Ready for this? It's the fear of the unknown. And he paused, and then he made a statement. I'm telling you, I don't know how to communicate this with the gravity and the weight, and this may just kind of be like, well, that's a big deal. Here's what he said. He said, it's the fear of the unknown. And then he chuckled, and he said this. But the truth is, very, very little is really unknown. Here's what he meant. He chuckled. He said, I have ALS. What is there not to know? I know how this ends. And so I'm no longer afraid of the unknown because very little is unknown. Now listen to this. Look up here. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no mystery as to how it ends for us either. There is very little unknown. This is why Jesus, this is so amazing. This is why Jesus could say to his closest followers and why he can say to us that you don't need to be afraid because the unknown isn't unknown to me. And at the end of the day, we all know how it ends. So fear not. Superman is with you. And the worst thing that can happen is that your body is destroyed. And there's no unknown about that either. But why would we spend our lives striving and fearing things that the worst they can do is destroy our body when we have been introduced to the Superman, the someone who died for our sins and claimed to be able to save our soul, that immaterial part of us that isn't brain and that isn't body, that is eternal once it's been created by God? He says, why would you spend your little itty bitty 70, 80, 90 year old years on this? Why would you spend it striving and fearing? Because there isn't really that much unknown anyway. At the end of the day, we all end up the same. So just let it go and live your life. And knowing that loosens the stranglehold of fear, because the unknown, come on, it's not really that unknown. In fact, while we were sitting there and he said that, his wife Carla, she was sitting to the left of me, she said this. She said, you know, Andy, but every once in a while, she said, she didn't say at night, but I could tell she meant at night. She said, every once in a while, the fear creeps back in. And then she said this, and she said, I just have to re-release them to God. The fear starts creeping back in. It doesn't ever completely go, hey, we're never going to be fearless. The fear starts creeping back in, and I just have to let it go. You know what she was saying? Come on. There is a someone who overwhelms the something. There is a someone that I have learned to trust in, and if I can trust in the someone, the something stays smaller, and I can live my life. And as Jesus said, I'm not promising you bad things aren't gonna happen. I'm just promising to be with you through them. I'm not promising that everything's gonna work out the way everybody says it's supposed to work out because you have faith and believe in God. I'm just telling you, there is a who that will keep your fears in their proper place if you will continue to put your trust in me. Because when your faith in someone exceeds your fear of something, fear loses its grip. The Apostle Paul said it this way, and we're done. He said, come on, don't be anxious about anything. This is in the book of Philippians, where he spent time in jail in Philippi. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, here we go. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, thing, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to someone. And the peace of God, not the peace of circumstance, not the peace of enough money in the bank, not the peace of, oh, she called me back, not the peace of it all worked out. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Tim, are you serious? I mean, how many times I've said this to Tim, serious, Tim, how do you keep your attitude? I do not understand. How can you have such peace in the midst of you're dying? And the peace of God that transcends above and beyond all human understanding, the way I memorized it as a kid was all human comprehension, that transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in a who? Christ Jesus. And like many of you, I've seen that peace firsthand. Many of you could stand up and tell us your story of how the peace of God overwhelmed circumstances that filled you with fear until you understood that there is a someone who puts fear in its place. Tim and Carla would assure you tonight, it is very, very real. There is a peace that surpasses human comprehension because it comes from someone, a super man. It enables us to move from fearful to fearless because there is someone who is with us.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's Your Move podcast. And a special thanks to all of our supporters who make Your Move possible. Don't forget that you can support Your Move now by texting Your Move, all one word, to 77977 or give online at yourmove.is/give. That's yourmove.is/give.